Hello and welcome back to Perfectly Paranormal, episode 72. My name's Anna Schmidt, and I'm here every week to share with you true paranormal encounters and information about devils, demons, and dark energy beings that no one else talks about. Today we're diving headfirst into exploring emotions, paranormal entities, and the sometimes subtle or not so subtle connection between the two. And I have a question from Carol in Yorkshire who asks, please explain what emotional imprints are and why they attract ghosts and paranormal beings, because I just don't get it. So I'm going to be answering Carol's question. I'm going to be sharing some stories with you, some of mine and a client-based story, about how emotional imprints impacted her life. And also, really importantly, I'm going to share with you what you can do to lessen and avoid attracting paranormal entities to yourself in the first place. So, feeding hungry entities. Now, I know that sounds kind of creepy, but when you hear my explanation, you'll understand what I mean. Often people doubt my referencing emotions as a food source for paranormal entities. People tell me that dark beings, demonic beings, sometimes even the spirits, they're here to hurt us, they're here to frighten us, and they're here to make our lives a misery. Well, my very candid response to that is, people do that to people, not the spirits, not the lower vibrational beings. They are here and they interact with us for a varied number of reasons. And one of them, for the lower vibrational beings, is that they use our emotions, they use us as emotional energy batteries. They use us as a food source. I know that sounds strange, but everything in the universe is energy. And lower vibrational beings are denser, darker forms of that energy. And they are drawn to the negative energy in our environment. It's the only way I can explain it. This energy can be a natural disaster on the Earth's surface, or an accident site on a highway, or a period of mass trauma through history. But if you want to look more locally, it can simply be a house where there have been unspeakable actions, negative behaviors, addictions, self-harming. There's lots of reasons why these beings are in our environment. Now, like I mentioned earlier, paranormal entities know that we are energy beings in these physical bodies, and we create multitudes of emotional responses every single day, either internally or externally, usually to situations and experiences, sometimes ones that actually trigger us quite badly. Each emotional response carries its own individual vibration. The positive, light and fluffy vibrations, such as love, joy and happiness, they're higher vibrations. And paranormal entities don't really care for those. They don't relate to them. They don't understand them. They don't actually feed them. So they're really not interested in, and they're not part of their lives. But the lower energy vibrations that we create in the form of our emotional responses, such as resentment, hatred, guilt, rage, sorrow, jealousy, just for an example, these emotions carry a denser, more attractive vibration to these energy beings. And they simply feed a need that these entities have, as I'll say it again, as a type of energetic food. Now, if consistent vibrations are being created in particular locations, and I always talk about homes because that's where my work is focused, then these entities are simply going to hang around like kids at the lolly shop. And they're not going to move. They're not going to leave the home or another location unless someone like myself comes in, identifies the emotional imprints and some of the other details that go with shifting them. Now, a dear friend of mine named Emmy, she has issues with rage, and she quite openly talks about it. I only met Emmy about 18 months ago. I was introduced to her because she was dealing with some health issues. She was struggling a little bit, and she'd seen the doctor, she'd seen the mental health professional, and she just knew there was something else to her problem. Emmy would quite often get angry, and I mean more than angry, like rage. Rage was often her go-to emotion in many situations, from simple things like suddenly banging a hand accidentally at home to situations happening with her work. Her rage wasn't always outwardly spoken. More so, it kind of simmered under the surface, and she would be stewing about situations, she would be ruminating about events, and she would be continuously creating big build-ups of this rage. And she didn't understand how this build-up of negative energy was affecting her mind and health. Now, when you looked at Emmy, you would never know she created rage, because like I said earlier, mostly it was internal. Most people carry emotional imprints. They carry these triggers. And unless someone like me comes along and actually points the finger at it and goes, "This, I think, is a trigger for you," people quite often just don't know why they react in certain ways. She was very open for me, helping her shift the dynamics around the rage. She wanted to understand it. I'm ready. I'm ready to move on from this. So over many energy clearing sessions, and most of them were weekly, Emmy acknowledged that the rage happened and that she did it, and she didn't deny it, she didn't make excuses, she simply owned it. Slowly over time, Emmy started to change her responses, and they went from rage to sometimes being neutral or sometimes being really positive in triggering situations. She knew that if she created rage, she was going to attract the paranormal beings. There's no ifs and buts about it. I know it. I explained it to her. She got it. And she went, "You know what? I don't want them in my life. I'm going to have to make the change." Now, I have to tell you, it took practice. It wasn't an overnight happening. And there's two ways that she felt these benefits. There was no rage energy flowing through her mind, flowing through her body and her energy field, upsetting the way that her body felt, upsetting her other emotions, upsetting her relationships with people around her. She said to me that her body felt more balanced, she felt more relaxed, and she actually felt happier within herself. Now, secondly, there were no paranormal beings. They simply just weren't interested in her, because she wasn't creating the rage anymore. Now, I have to tell you that we're not perfect as human beings. We all create these emotional imprints. So as much as Emmy moved forward, occasionally she'd slip back into old habits. And I would very gently remind her when I did her weekly clearings that there was some rage there. And what was the situation that occurred approximately 6 days ago or approximately 8 days ago? And she'd think back and go, "Oh, I know the situation that triggered that." So by doing this work, it taught Emmy to be aware of the environment, to be aware of the people, to be aware of how she's feeling and how she may respond. And I have to tell you, it's been really, really amazing to watch the transformation in this young lady and how now, after nearly 18 months, Emmy simply creates very little rage. Like, it could even be nearly 2 years now. I just forget because I just don't find the rage in her anymore. And she's so proud of herself, and she's more happier, and she feels the positive outcome. Now, a lot of people panic when I talk about emotional imprints. They're like, "Oh, I create so many. What am I going to do? I'm always going to be attracting paranormal entities." It's not the case. It's the intensity of how you create that emotion and how often you do it. For Emmy, rage was something that she created quite often in the early days. And things have changed now because of her self-awareness. So this leads me into how you can keep paranormal entities away from yourself. These suggestions are going to sound a little bit like homework. And I'm sorry, but it is homework. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts with doing this work. It is simply something that you have to be aware of every day. And people are probably going to roll their eyes and go, "Oh, it's all too hard." But I have to say, once you become aware of what your triggers are, and you understand the situations that trigger you, it becomes like a challenge. You know, am I going to let that beat me, or am I going to come out on top and not have any paranormal beings around me? So it's a little bit like a game. There are no cutting corners. You cut the corners, you're actually missing out on the learning. You're missing out on the valuable experiences and information. So you've got to do the hard slog, and I'm sorry to say it. But these six proven ways to keep paranormal entities uninterested in you, your life, and your emotional imprints, I know they work because I tested them on myself first. Like, I'm 56 this year in 2024, and I've been doing this self-awareness work probably for about 25 years, and it just becomes a daily habit. You just do it after a while. It's not like homework, but it is when you start, because it's just something else you've got to do, something else you've got to be aware of. But anyway, let me get into it. Number one, self-awareness. Now, please don't roll your eyes. I'm not going to get into all that spiritual woo-woo stuff. But when it comes to emotional imprints and paranormal entities, you must be aware of your thoughts, your words, your actions, and your reactions in different situations. What you think, what you say, and your actions all create vibrations. You feel these vibrations. The people around you feel the vibrations. Where you live feels the vibrations. And also paranormal beings who are wafting around in our environment, they feel the vibrations as well. Either positive, neutral, or negative vibrations can be created through these situations. So self-awareness is a major key to changing your habits and the creations of negative emotional imprints. Now, number two, be aware of your triggers. Now, this is kind of where the homework steps up, is that you have to think about what you're thinking about. You have to observe what you're saying and what you're doing. And you will soon pick up on when you're triggered. Now, these can be environmental triggers. They can be people triggers. They can be emotional triggers. They can be experiential triggers. Anything that sends you into a negative head spin or creates a negative response, an action or a reaction, is what I call a trigger. And quite often, our triggers are connected to our emotions because we act in a certain way. We think in a certain way. And I have an experiential trigger to share with you very soon. This is one of mine, slightly embarrassing, but I'm going to share it anyway. So hang in there. We're getting to that very soon. Now, number three, choose a neutral or a more positive way to respond in difficult situations. Now, it sounds easy for some, it's going to be hard for others, but when you're aware of your triggers, and believe me, it can take some time to observe yourself about who or what triggers you. When you become aware of what your triggers are, you can take action and be proactive in choosing non-triggering and non-reactive responses. Believe me, it does work. I like the self-help path. A lot of people will see counselors, see mental health professionals, and that is totally okay to get help with this. But I like to offer some suggestions about what I've done that helped me. Now, here is my somewhat embarrassing but quite common example of creating negative emotions. Now, I observed this within myself and what was drawn to me after I did this particular thing. And it wasn't just once. I have to say, I didn't learn the first time. It probably took 10 to 15 times for me to actually go, you know what, I need to do something about this, because I kept putting it off. I went, nah, I don't need to work on that. It's okay, it's all good. But it wasn't all good. So here we go. Driving triggers me. Now, it's not so much my driving, and I'm by no means perfect on the road, but it's other people on the road who don't indicate when they're changing lanes, or they're all over the lanes, or it's the speeding people, or it's the rev heads, or it's those little old ladies or little old men in hats that drive way too slow. And I'm talking like 40 in a 70 zone. Now, I'm driving along behind them, and I'm usually on a mission when I'm going somewhere. Like, I need to be somewhere on time. And I usually, another problem is I don't leave enough time. I don't leave early enough before I need to go. So I'm getting in the car a little bit stressed to start with. And as I'm driving along, there'll always be these obstacle people put in front of me. Always. It's like the universe is constantly challenging me to not react. Now, I'll be driving along and I start to boil over on the inside. It's the only way I can explain it. Try to stay calm, but sometimes it just doesn't work. Like I'm boiling over and sometimes I even honk my horn or I might get a little bit verbal, but generally it's just sort of muttering and complaining or swearing about the other person's driving behaviours. I just do it to myself. But when you're creating emotional imprints, it's the intensity of how you do it. Now, I could be intense outwardly and yelling and screaming at the person in front of me, or I can be doing it inwardly. I find it doesn't matter. It's the focus you give it and that intensity that creates these emotional imprints, and it creates the what I call the episodes. So quite often, when you get triggered, you won't just create one episode. It could be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. It could be 100 in 10 minutes, in 20 minutes, depending on how much you're ruminating over it, how much you're thinking about it, how intense it is in your mind. It's really hard to explain this, but I've learned this myself along the way. I haven't read any textbooks. I've just kind of unpacked it for myself, and then I've had friends that I did this work for, and I've had clients come to me. Now, when I get home after creating all my hostility, I kind of forget about it. And I'm getting home with, say, the grocery bags, or I've been to an appointment and I have to get back to work. And I sit there and I start doing my work. I feel different. I feel a little bit odd. I've got brain fog. I've got symptoms. I've got physical symptoms that weren't there before I went out. Now, I know that they're not medical and they're not mental health. It was simply my reaction to a particular situation has created a rather large buildup of hostility. And it takes paranormal beings usually anywhere from an hour onwards to be able to find you. So what I do is that I'll sit there and I'll do some dowsing to see what this sudden energetic shift has been caused by. And usually I've sat there and I'll see in my mind, because I'm quite visual, I'll actually see me driving and sort of getting angry, getting hostile. And I'm like, oh dear, I know what's caused this shift in my energy. And when I do the dowsing, I'll ask, are there any dark or demonic beings around me? And I'll usually get there's 1, 2, 3, or 4 of these entities present. Because remember, they always travel in groups. I don't know why, they just do. But these particular beings, when I checked, I knew by that visual, I knew by that little movie that I saw in my head, I went, yep, my higher self is showing me that I've created this. Now, I don't make excuses. I totally own it. I know I did that. I need to just calm my farm, as Australians say. Leave earlier and just be more relaxed behind the wheel. So when I unpacked why I created hostility, it was because, this is in general, not just that one episode, it's because I'm a very ethical and moral person. This is pretty much about everything. And when I get in the car, I get really agitated by other people's behaviours, by other people not following the road rules. Now, it's none of my business what they're doing. It absolutely is not. But I'm letting myself get caught in that moment and create all that hostility that then feeds the little wafters who are up in the environment looking for their next feed of hostility. And I'm like, oh, I've done it again. So once I realized this, I had a good talk to myself and I changed my approach to driving. And what is that, I hear you say? It's really quite simple. I don't get caught up in other people's behaviours and actions on the road. I focus on my driving and I keep sort of a calm sense of alertness as we do when we're on the road. We're watching the mirrors in front, the mirrors on the side, you know, people changing lanes, speed limit, all those things you've got to be aware of. But I stay calm. I just don't get caught in the drama of the moment because I know I'm going to create hostility. Now, this leads very nicely into number 4. Now, number 4, don't get caught in other people's drama. Seriously, this is a really, really big problem worldwide. You may find yourself creating a whole bunch of emotional imprints about something that's got nothing to do with you in the first place. It is so common. We all seem to love drama to one degree or another. But reining in your drama addiction might just help you keep the paranormal energy feeders away. And it's like what I said with my driving. If it isn't your issue, don't get involved. There's always cases when sometimes you do have to get involved, especially if it's children or parent care or issues or something. But watch out for the types of emotions that you create in those situations. Because believe me, drama seems to bring out the worst in people. It really, really does. Now, number 5 is kind of connected to number 4. Don't let people use you as an emotional dumping ground. Some people love to offload all their emotional baggage and just walk away feeling great. And you've just inherited all their emotional junk. If you're emotionally and energetically sensitive, some people call it an empath, you can absorb other people's emotions like a sponge. So when I do energy clearings for people, I will always ask, did the person create this emotional imprint or did they absorb it? Because I am one of these people, I've got my hand up here, I'm one of these people that before I had my full-on protection in place, I used to absorb so many emotions from other people. I wasn't technically getting caught in the drama. I am just an energetic sponge. And people would quite often come to me and they'd tell me all their problems and away they'd go. And I thought it was great because I was helping them. But what I was doing was actually building up a huge amount of emotional imprints within my energy field, in my physical body, my organs, my chakras, my meridian lines, and they were attracting so many paranormal beings. Another little small story to help you understand about another emotional imprint that I see quite often. A lot of people in society either feel worthless or unworthy. Now, I know these are a thing because I would be out with a particular person that I know and I'd be feeling great. I'd be feeling really good and we'd go and do some shopping and I'd take her to a gardening center. She loved plants and we'd get some hay for a garden. I used to help people in the early days when I had more time. But when I came home, I would feel, this is back to my home, not her home, and I would feel really down. I'd feel sad and I'd feel unworthy. I'd feel worthless. I'd feel really, really negative. Now, as much as I love this lady, we had both had a love for the garden. And I think that's what drew us together. She was one of the most negative people I have ever met in my life. I'd rock up to her back door and I'd be like, "Hi, how you going? It's Thursday. Do you feel up to going out? I'm happy to take you wherever you want to go." And she would be straight into the negativity and I could just feel it. I could feel it like these waves of energy just hitting me in the face. And she wondered why everything in her life went wrong. Now, many years later, I can see why everything in her life is going wrong. Because she's creating so much negativity. It's the old saying, what you put out is what you get back. So that lady and I, oh my goodness, we came to loggerheads one day. I'd been seeing her for 7 years and she had a particular problem with her computer. Now, I am not a computer techie. I am not. But I thought, oh, she's whinging and whinging and whinging. Can I help? And apparently in her eyes, I made the problem worse. So instead of her staying calm, she got really irate and she was waving her arms around and she was just being horrible. And she looked at me and she said, "There's the door. I don't want to see you again." And like, I was dumbfounded. I was like, wow. After 7 years of friendship, she said, "There's the door. I don't want to see you again." Over probably a very simple thing that she could get her son to look at. Now, before we get to number 6, one more short story. All these little short stories keep coming to my mind. I've got a girlfriend who quite often creates unworthy. Unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. Always complaining about life. Life's a drama. Everything's going wrong all the time. Can you see a similar pattern happening here? These people don't see what they're doing. And I actually tried to point it out to her one day, very kindly, very gently. But she wouldn't have a bar of it. until one day it was like a light bulb went on in her head. And she was like, wow. The next time she came, she'd actually changed her approach. She was calmer, she was more relaxed, and she kind of apologized for always being negative all the time. Whenever she left my house, I always had to go through the house and clean out all the unworthy. Now, you're asking me how I know it's unworthy. Is that I have a folder with a list of, could be about 150 emotions. And I have them organized in such a way that I can go through them fairly quickly and work out what it is, where it is, who created it, and when. So whenever she left my house, oh my goodness, as much as I love to see her, it was like, I really need you to go because I've got all this clearing up of unworthy to do. And I had to clean it up because I'd go and stand in places where she'd been, or I'd sit in the chair that she sat in. I would start to feel unworthy. And remember, unworthy is not one of my triggers. Resentment is one of my triggers that I might share at the end of this episode. I talk about it all the time, and you've probably already heard me say it. But resentment and hostility are my two trigger emotions. So I knew the unworthy wasn't mine. But anyway, we got it cleaned up, and she finally had that aha moment, and she moved on. Lastly, number 6. This is the biggest one of all. To be able to keep these paranormal beings away, you have to be honest with yourself about what you create. I'm going to say it again. You have to be honest with yourself about what you create. Some of my clients won't believe that they create certain emotional imprints, such as hatred or resentment, rage, hostility, the list goes on and on. They're either ashamed of doing it, or they believe that they're above those emotions. Now, quite often I deal with a lot of spiritual type people. I call them the spiritual textbook people. They think that everything's love and light, and they think that they're above creating negative emotional imprints. We're all human. We are simply all human. But someone's just got to say it. We all create negative emotions, and I call them imprints. It's just a word because they're imprinted into you, onto the desk, into the chair, into the bed, into the car. You're getting the idea of where I'm going with this. They are imprinted everywhere. Now, it's part of being human, but also part of being human is learning and growing, being honest with yourself and owning what you do. Being accountable, right? This sounds a bit like a life coaching session, and I can't help it because this is just the way this stuff works. You've got to deal with it. If you're not going to be honest with what you create, then nothing is going to change. And the paranormal entities that are drawn to those imprints, whether it be within you or your home or your car and so forth, they're just going to keep coming back. Now, myself and Emmy, we are living proof that this can work. Change your emotional responses to situations and you're going to feel more relaxed, more settled within yourself. You're going to be able to focus on the positive side of life. You're actually going to enjoy living. Now, when I get these clients that are willing to address their responses, willing to address their emotional imprints, such as Emmy, they notice major improvements in their well-being and they simply don't attract anywhere near as many entities as before. Now, lecture done. Sorry, I do lecture sometimes. I get on my soapbox and I can't help it. But I hope you have gained some useful insight into how emotional energy and paranormal beings are connected. There's no way to deny it. They simply are. And you can start being more aware of what you're creating on a daily basis. So I wish you well with it. Good luck. Do your homework and have fun with it. So in episode 73, we are unlocking prisons, jails, and the paranormal entities roaming around these facilities and what goes on behind bars. And I have two experiences to share with you. One is a local happening from a historic convict jail here in Tasmania, and also one from overseas, which was rather interesting. Because I was interviewing a man on death row in San Quentin Prison in the US back in mid-2023. And I definitely got more than I bargained for in that interview. Oh my goodness. It was great talking to him, but wow. The experience I had with that situation was truly eye-opening. So join me for episode 73 to hear about what the paranormal beings get up to in jail. Oh, and don't forget, if you like the content of this podcast and you don't want to miss any future episodes, please subscribe. And you can share with your friends so we can get the message out there. We can spread the message about these paranormal pranksters and what they get up to in our homes. I would really appreciate it. So thank you for joining me today. And don't forget, if you want to share a paranormal experience just with myself, or you would like me to share one of your experiences through my podcast, you can do a voice recording, or you can write out your experience and I will read it exactly as you have written. You can email me at spiritualbeing44@gmail.com. And for information on paranormal house clearing, you can visit my website, Spiritual Being. You will find the address in the description box. And I look forward to sharing this spooky space again with you next week. And remember, life is perfectly paranormal.